Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buccanani. Chris, it just dawned on me, the best part of the college football playoffs is this. Penn State has now played 15 games. We're in January, and we are still not done. If you are a big college football fan, specifically a Penn State football fan, that's got to be the best thing in the world.
It's definitely weird. I'm wondering how many folks in the audience have had the same experience that I've had, where you become aware of the degree to which your whatever internal biological clock, whatever you want to call it, is attuned to, you know, if you live in Pennsylvania, the four seasons of the year, or at the very least, the passing of the college football season. I know I had the strangest sensation getting ready for the home playoff game a couple of weeks ago. I might have even said this on the air that, you know, we had people coming in and, you know, we're getting ready to do our final tailgate and we're shipping everybody out the door on a Sunday morning. And I'm used to that being, it's like, okay, now Thanksgiving just ended and we're ready to start the Christmas season. Time to go get your Christmas tree. And it's like, oh no, Christmas Eve is 5 minutes from now. So yeah, it's very, very strange to be in what for me has always been, okay, start thinking about the Eagles, start thinking about the NFL playoffs. And I totally focused in on Penn State, Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl, which is incredible. When we started talking about this team this summer, Jim, I think this goes beyond my wildest expectations of where they would have gone.
Well, that is it. Just to hit our body clock. Our body clock tells us that after that Thanksgiving game, you wait over a month or so for a New Year's Day bowl game, and that's how it works.
Right.
And that bowl game was just a little bit of – it was bonus football. It doesn't have great repercussions to it. I don't want to say it's an exhibition game, but it's – because it's after the season, and if you're not playing in for the national championship, a one versus two game, it's great if you win. If you lose, well, you know, it probably didn't change the world. Now, all of a sudden, we're do or die every week, week and a half, and it's a game that means absolutely everything, which it's fascinating, it's weird, and it's great.
Yeah, man. Survive in advance. It's a thing of beauty.
And this will be... let's see, had two playoff games. This is the third game in a row where you say, this is the biggest game of the season. This is the biggest game in years.
This right? One especially falls into that biggest game in years conversation. I have been asked that many times over the last few days. Where does this slot in the pantheon of big games in recent memory, even in program history? It's up there. And I do think it means a lot more that you're pitting two of the great historical brands in college football against one another.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Well, first of all, as far as big games, other than playing for the national championship, which Penn State has done over the history, won twice, lost a couple times, that's where we are. Other than playing for a national championship, this is the biggest game, right?
Yeah, I think so. There are two definitions, and one gets a lot messier than the other. There are games that in retrospect, you can look back and say, man, that was decided on the edge of a knife, and had it tipped the other way, it would have changed the trajectory of the program. And you need look no further than the USC or the Minnesota game from this season to find games like that. But I think it's easier to put it in the context of going into the game. What were the direct stakes if Penn State won versus Penn State losing in terms of the prestige of the program, the season that it's in, the way we're viewed nationally? And that's the conversation we're in right now. We're talking about bowl games like the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and the Fiesta Bowl from the 80s, where the Nittany Lions had a chance to play for a national title, the Sugar Bowl from the 1978 season, and then a handful of other games, right? like maybe the Ohio State game in 2005, the Rose Bowl in 2022. There were some other big ones, but this is an opportunity, again, especially given the opponent and the history of the two participants. This is right up there in the top tier, which is really exciting.
Well, let's talk about that history a little bit with Notre Dame. You and I are both old enough to remember when they would play regularly. I'm not sure if your memory goes back before Penn State joined the Big Ten. I guess there was about a 12-year span where Penn State would play Notre Dame every year. Mm-hmm. They were both independents. It was a big game.
Yeah.
Put that in perspective for our younger fans, what this rivalry means, Penn State, Notre Dame.
Well, sure. It's been pointed out that Penn State has not won a consensus national championship without defeating Notre Dame in the regular season. They played in both 82 and 86, like great games, too. It's interesting. And of course, I don't remember those games. I'm aware of them because I try to know the history of the program. But I remember the games in the early 90s. And I was a kid in the 80s, so I'm just kind of figuring things out. And I talked last week about having fun with my cousin and teaching his two young sons to hate Pitt the way my dad and his dad taught us. Because I grew up in that era, I remember starting to figure out, okay, Notre Dame is one of the other big schools. One of the things I'm sure we'll talk about here a little bit, Jim, is how big a game this is in Northeastern Pennsylvania. You and I are both from that portion of the state. So I had plenty of friends who were Notre Dame football fans, along with many Penn State fans in my school growing up. So you really started to understand that these were two of the great programs in this sport you were learning to love, and that they had big games in between them. They were consequential. These were teams that were playing for big-time bowl invitations, for national championships. And I think, you know, it's a shame that series fell off. If there's one thing that comes out of this Orange Bowl, other than a Penn State win, that I would like to see, I hope it maybe reinvigorates some comity between the two athletic departments, where there can start to be some discussions between Pat Kraft and the Notre Dame AD about, like, hey, let's try to get a game on the books in the future. Because one thing I have learned from the economics of the way these playoffs are playing out, Notre Dame ain't joining a conference like probably ever, because Penn State made the Orange Bowl. And for our troubles, we got $14 million that gets to be split 18 ways among the member institutions of the Big Ten. Meanwhile, Notre Dame just got $14 million check. So I don't think they're in a big rush to come join the Big Ten and instead take a 1/19th share of that 14 mil. You know what I'm saying, Jim?
Well, it's all the more reason for Notre Dame to put some emphasis on their football program and make sure they're a winner and consistently make the playoffs.
And that's another point, actually. I was just talking with somebody about the 07 game, the last time we met, that regular season game, the first all-stadium whiteout. And I was explaining that Notre Dame football really fell off in the 1990s. And there was a prolonged period where they had the brand, but not the performance on the field to back it up. And now that they've enjoyed this resurgence, you know, Brian Kelly, love him or hate him, I certainly dislike him, and I think most others do. He did a good job at least restoring the competitiveness of Notre Dame football. And Marcus Freeman, who I like a lot, has elevated it to another level. They're the Joker of the college football universe, man. Like, they're the best villain. They're the one you love to hate. And the sport is just better when Notre Dame's good, even if only because it gives most of the nation a catharsis and a rooting interest when they lose. It's just better. The sport's better when Notre Dame is good. So I've been glad, as much as I don't like them, as much as I sports hate them, as much as any team in American sports, they're up there with the Dallas Cowboys for me. It's fun. It's fun to hate Notre Dame football.
And I think for the younger fans, they have to understand where this came from. Notre Dame was probably the first national program. I mean, it goes all the way back to Newt Rockne, Notre Dame in the 20s and 30s, taking a train out to Southern California or coming to the Northeast. And because of the Irish and the Catholic background, you had a built-in fan base everywhere. But you brought up Northeast PA, and I'm glad you did. I was going to ask you, now I think most folks know I'm from Berwick, and growing up there were all those Notre Dame fans locally. It was tough when you went to church and the priest was a Notre Dame fan. You're out of Allentown. Was it the same? And could you explain to our listeners what that was like growing up where Penn State wasn't the only home team? Notre Dame was looked at by a lot of people as the home team.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to clarify, I'm not from Allentown. I'm from Lehighton. I'm from Carbon County, so not Lehigh County, okay? But same thing, by the way, both places. In fact, probably even more in small-town Pennsylvania than in the cities. There are probably more Notre Dame fans in Carbon County than there are in Whitehall, or at least there were when I was growing up. And to your point, right, Notre Dame intolerably, insufferably, just lays claim to an entire sect of Christianity and, you know, an entire ethnic background of American immigrants. So it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm Catholic, or I'm Irish, or I have Irish roots, or you know, I'm 1/10 Irish, or my uncle was Catholic, or whatever. All these stupid reasons to root for them. And was it like that around me? You're damn right it was. And it was infuriating. But again, like infuriating in the best way, especially back when the two teams were playing, because that gave you an opportunity to talk smack on each other and have fun. I got a lot of good positive memories coming back from a lot of nasty talk, all in good faith and good fun between Penn State and Notre Dame fans from back in the day.
Heck, there was a time if your uncle drank with a couple Irish guys, that meant he was able to root for Notre Dame and call them his home team.
Yeah, so right.
That's what we had to deal with growing up. And
yeah,
when we come back, I'll tell you even just a little bit more, share with our listeners the background of what it's like to grow up in Pennsylvania with so many Notre Dame people around you. We'll get to that when we come back.
Are you interested in traveling to Miami for the college football national semifinal game with your Nittany Lions? Then I have the answer for you from our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They are offering a 3-night air package. It includes round trip, nonstop, charter air transportation from either State College or Harrisburg. Yep, you heard me right. Nonstop, out-of-state college or Harrisburg. It also includes hotel accommodations for 3 nights and your game ticket. And as always, when you deal with Collegiate Athletic Travel, you will have your travel directors who will provide you with all the help you need to make sure it's a great trip. Check them out at athletictravel.com, or you could give them a call for more information at 814-238-4987.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Chris Buccanani. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking Penn State football, Penn State versus Notre Dame coming up this week. And Chris, I think a lot of young people don't understand, and I'm turning 65 this month, Chris, so that's the perspective I come from. When I was a kid, there was literally one college football game televised a week. You got one game. That was it. But to feed your desire for college football, Sunday mornings, I think it was a 90-minute show, a 90-minute Notre Dame highlight show. So very similar to the current Big Ten game in 60 minutes, you would get Notre Dame every week for 90 minutes on Sunday morning, which just added to that whole Notre Dame thing. And you went one of two directions. You either love them or you hated them. And then to just add in this Penn State versus Notre Dame rivalry, well, you know where I ended up on that spectrum. So let's talk about this upcoming game a little bit, Chris. You've got Notre Dame. First of all, give me your thoughts in general on Notre Dame and the season they had. They were left for dead by a lot of people when they lost to Northern Illinois. That seemed to spark them.
Yeah.
Since then, unbeaten, obviously. How impressive is their resume, though? How good is this team?
Yeah, I'm going to reiterate kind of what I said on this week's obligatory pregame show, which by the time this airs, Jim, will be out and live on the For the Bloggy YouTube channel. So please go watch us from the new, soon to open We Are In location in State College, right there on College Ave, and the old Damons for the old folks among us. I think it's indisputable that if you look at Notre Dame's schedule, it was not a rigorous run through the regular season for them. Service academies had nice years for service academies. They were not the measure of top talent competing for a national championship level like where Notre Dame is. They blew them out. Probably their best win of the year at Texas A&M. A very embarrassing, inexplicable to lose to a 500 MAC team at home. And then later in the year, you know, they looked at, hey, we got Florida State, we got USC. Circumstances of those teams this season, it just didn't work out. You know, I think there's a stereotype out there that Notre Dame always has easy schedules. I love to bag on the Fighting Irish as much as anybody in college football. Trust me. And that's not true. Sometimes they have easy schedules. This year they happen to have an easy schedule that was even easier because it turned out that FSU stunk and USC was kind of like just auditioning new quarterbacks by the time they played them. But a lot of times, though, you look at their slate next year, it's far more challenging than what they had this season. All of that is to say that if you wrote them off after they lost to NIU, or you look at it and say, okay, great, guys, congratulations, you beat Louisville. What, you want a medal or a chest to pin it on? You just play who you play, right? You can only play who's on your schedule. You can beat them convincingly, which Notre Dame did for the most part. If you watched their games during the season, as I started to, as it looked like they were starting to put together a real winning streak, I realized, hey, these guys are for real. Whatever happened versus Northern Illinois, that is not who they are as a team. They are very physical. They're very talented, and they have earned the opportunity to be where they are. So I think it is both true that their schedule was soft and they have easily the worst loss of any of the teams that made the 12-team field, but they rebounded from it, and it's not their fault that they played a soft schedule. They're a really good team.
That same argument, you could hear it made about Penn State also.
I don't want to hear it. No more Illinois slander. I've had it. I've had it with everybody disrespecting the Fighting Illini. I've somehow inexplicably become a real Burt Bielema fan throughout this season, Jim. And, you know, I talked about this on Obligatory too. You had like Nick Saban and Booger McFarland just going on television and just saying like patently false things. They're like, oh, Penn State doesn't have a ranked win. Well, why did they think that? Because nobody, they're like, oh yeah, I understand Illinois is ranked, but it's Illinois. They're not a real ranked team. And they beat South Carolina in that bowl game. I've had it. Everybody respect the Fighting Illini. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, any schedule could be picked apart is where I was headed. Sure. You know, obviously I've picked on Alabama quite a bit because people will talk about their wins, but they don't talk about their losses.
Right.
Texas A&M, people will give Notre Dame credit for beating a ranked Texas A&M team. But at the end of the year, Texas A&M was not a ranked team. Okay. Right. So, but you could cherry pick just about every schedule this season. I think that's the case now that there are no elite teams out there this year. They are not. They just aren't.
And we may not see elite teams going forward. The ability to stockpile that level of talent just might not be there. I mean, it might. Who knows? The sport's very fluid, but this might be an outlier or it might be an indicator of things to come.
Well, I think the indicator that the world has changed is that with the portal, you see this talent getting that all-star, five-star backup quarterback is not going to stick around at Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I think maybe you and I talked about this prior to the season, where Ohio State, they just stockpile top quarterbacks. And my take was the over-under on number of quarterbacks who are going to transfer from Ohio State at the end of the season was 2.5. And I said, I think I would bet the over. Well, guess what? We already have two, Chris. We only need one more.
Yeah, and we got the whole spring to go. I think you're sitting pretty there at the over.
Yeah, so the way it works is it's quite different, and you have a Georgia team. One could even be critical of Notre Dame's win there. This was Georgia playing with a quarterback who's making his first collegiate start.
Yep.
And, you know, this is a Georgia team that was not what you remember to Georgia. And, again, this special teams are all part of the game, but you had a fumble, you had a kickoff return, you had the thing, you had Georgia turning the ball over. Georgia outgained Notre Dame in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's not how you keep score. It's points, not yards. But this was not like, you know, Notre Dame running roughshod over Georgia. So I think it's a, you know, pretty balanced game here with Penn State, Notre Dame. I had a friend ask me, why in the world is Notre Dame favored in this game? So I'll ask you that question, Chris. I know it's a small favorite. I think it's 1.5. Why do you think Notre Dame's favored in this game?
That's a good question. So I think it's a couple of factors. I do think there is some lingering skepticism about Penn State because of the competition that we've faced, right? As I just very passionately exhorted, Illinois just is not going to get respect. It's a brand-driven sport. You can have a really nice football team. If they are wearing Illinois Fighting Illini in uniforms, probably boned. Like, you're just not going to get the respect. And there's recency bias as well. People look at Penn State beating SMU and Boise State, and then they look at Notre Dame beating Georgia. Well, of those brands, which one by far carries the most weight? I think that's a big part of it. But another factor, and you just kind of indirectly touched on it when you talked about how the Sugar Bowl went, that is weighing in Notre Dame's favor, is the understanding of how well coached they are as a team. Again, I like Marcus Freeman, man, a lot, which pains me because he's coaching at Notre Dame and I hate how much I like him, but he's a good coach. And if you look at the way that game went, he understood where and how to apply pressure on Georgia at just the right time to tip that game in their favor. And so when you look at two teams that you think are pretty evenly balanced from a talent perspective, and we'll see, that may turn out to be smoke and mirrors. It may turn out that one team dominates the other, because to be sure, the regular season maybe didn't give us the best, sample of what this team can, either one of these teams can do against the elite competition. But if you assume, right, that both teams are going to be stout at the line of scrimmage, they both have good rushing attacks, they both have quarterbacks who are good and can hurt you, albeit in different ways, and they're strong defensively, I think a lot of it is that recency bias of who did you beat in the playoffs and what was the brand equity of those opponents. But I do think this is the sense also that Marcus Freeman just has a heater going on right now. I think that factors in as well. And then, of course, also, too, when you give credence to the huge fan bases of both these schools, especially Notre Dame, I don't understand all the intricacies of how Vegas sets lines in order to move money, but I'm sure whenever the Fighting Irish are involved, there's always the psychology of baiting that fan base into getting involved financially, and I have no idea how that works, but I'm sure that's a factor.
Well, there's always, when setting a line, the goal is always stated as you want to get the same amount of money going either way, both ways. And so it's not who's the better team. It's who's perceived as the better team, how's the betting going to go, and Notre Dame, and I think especially to the casual gambler, you look at it, oh, Notre Dame just came back from beating Georgia. You know, Georgia's been one of those elite teams over the last half decade at least, so beating them means something. Meanwhile, Penn State has beaten this tier two team in Boise State.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I have no doubt that that is part of it. All right, Chris, when we come back, I want to shift gears a little bit. I know I did this a little bit of backwards, but I want to get, I haven't talked to you since the Boise State game. I want to get a couple thoughts from you on that before we really in quarter four go hardcore into Penn State, Notre Dame, your thoughts, your preview, your predictions. I want to take one step back, look at the Boise State game, and look at the rest of the playoffs. We're going to do that when we come back.
Are you interested in traveling to Miami for the college football national semifinal game with your Nittany Lions? Then I have the answer for you from our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They are offering a three-night air package. It includes round trip, nonstop, charter air transportation from either State College or Harrisburg. Yep, you heard me right. Nonstop, out-of-state college or Harrisburg. It also includes hotel accommodations for three nights and your game ticket. And as always, when you deal with Collegiate Athletic Travel, you will have your travel directors who will provide you with all the help you need to make sure it's a great trip. Check them out at athletictravel.com, or you could give them a call for more information at 814-238-4987.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three. He's Chris. Jim. Chris, I want to ask you the same thing I've asked the other guys this past week. Has James Franklin won a big game yet?
This season, you're asking?
Yes.
Man, this sounds incredibly like ungrateful and ungracious to say, but no. No, because as I alluded to in the last segment, man, it is a brand-driven sport. Whether you like it or not, that is just that's a brand is the coin of the realm in college football, and it always has been. And frankly, Penn State gets way more benefit from that being true than we do, what detracts from us. And so, no, James has not won, as my friends on the Let's Talk Penn State podcast would say, a James game. So for years, they've kind of talked about him as this character of Jimmy. They're like, Jimmy's always going to blow the big game. If you want to understand Jimmy from the Let's Talk Penn State perspective, the Minnesota game had all the earmarks in July and in November of a textbook Jimmy game. Okay. That's all you need to know to understand about Jimmy. So they said the Boise State game, that was a gym game. You go to the Fiesta Bowl, you go to 8-0, you beat Boise State, you go from Jimmy to Jim. But it's not a James game. Hasn't had a James game yet this season. USC, here's the crazy thing to me. I know I've talked about this multiple times on this show and elsewhere, but it just shows you what a crazy sport this is that we all love. USC was ranked, I think, depending on the poll, 11th or 12th or 13th going into the Minnesota game the weekend before we went out to play them in the Coliseum. That Minnesota game, that loss to the Golden Gophers, that got decided on a fourth down goal line scrum. Very, very easily could have been ruled. They ruled the Minnesota quarterback, Brosmer, got into the end zone. Very easily could have ruled them down. Could have changed the outcome of that game. Two teams ranked ahead of USC lost that same weekend. So the voters, for whatever reason, I mean, you know, Missouri, like they have photos or something. Like Drinkwitz has got to have pictures.
Jim. Fraud.
You know what I'm saying? Fraud team. You got to have pictures on these voters. They kept losing. They kept staying ranked. USC loses one game by one score on like a you know, edge of the knife play. They drop from 11th to out. They're out. They're out of the top 25. If that play goes the other way, if that, you know, game of inches shifts in the other direction, that's a top 10 matchup out there on the West Coast the following weekend. So maybe that could have been the big win, because USC is a big brand. And if they had a single digit number next to their name going into that game and the exact same game plays out, the national perception of Penn State is completely different, because they're giving credit for beating a top 10 team instead of an unranked team. And that sucks, and it's not fair, but life's not fair. And so, no, he hasn't won a big game yet. This is his opportunity.
Well, that's interesting, because it creates this, what is the perception? Remember at the start of the year, was it Georgia Tech who beat Florida State in that first game?
Yep.
And we walked away from that saying, wow, maybe Georgia Tech is pretty good here, Chris. They took down Florida State, and there was a lot of good feeling towards Georgia State at Georgia Tech at that point, right?
Yeah.
And Notre Dame took down Texas A&M at that time. That's a huge Texas A&M name, to your point. USC beat LSU early. We forget about that game. But at the time, it's all of a sudden our perception of USC changed. Remember thinking, Penn State's schedule all of a sudden got tougher because USC is pretty good.
Right.
Why? Because they beat LSU. And that was early on when the season started. It's the same way, and I'm guilty of this, I wrote off Clemson after that Georgia game early in the season, where Clemson just got boat raced. So I think I'm just emphasizing the point that you're making, is it's those brand wins. So there are some big wins for James Franklin, USC, Minnesota, Illinois, but the perception is just not going to be there until they win a game like this upcoming game against Notre Dame. And I think it's unfortunate, and I'm gonna give credit to someone this really pains me. It really pains me, Chris. Paul Feinbaum, he was talking about, you know, I guess it was the Boise State game, that if Penn State wins, it won't mean anything. But if they lose, that's a disaster for James Franklin.
Right.
In other words, it was a no-win situation.
Yep.
And that's what he's had to deal with SMU and with Boise State, because just to your point, there's no name brand to them. It's unfortunate, but yes, Jimmy needs this win against Notre Dame, doesn't he?
And not only is Notre Dame respected on the field and as a brand name, we're an underdog in this one. As you noted, a slight one and a half, 2 points, depending on where you look. We're dogs. And we've won in recent memory only twice as an underdog: the Rose Bowl against Utah in 2022 and the 2021 Wisconsin game, the road opener out there in Madison. Or it was a season opener. Only two times he's won as an underdog. So there's that too. When you talk about what makes it a big game, it's hard to credit him with a big win when you were expected to win the game going in. So this is a big opportunity on a lot of different ways. The stakes of this one are tremendously high for Penn State. And so part of it makes you sick if you think about it too long. So my advice is just don't look down. Nobody look down. I welcome it. I think if you want to be where we as Penn State fans kind of imagine that we believe the program belongs, you've got to find yourself in these situations. So even though I was watching that Sugar Bowl and understanding, man, this backup quarterback, he is not ready there at Georgia. He's not ready to play at this level. This is probably a more favorable matchup for Penn State. The college football fan in me could not resist wanting Notre Dame to win so we could get the matchup we've got.
Again, quarter four, I'll get your predictions and preview for that game. Quick look at the other side of this, Chris. Ohio State and Texas. I made the statement, and I've been making it for months now, that there's no elite teams in college football this year.
Yeah.
But, man, watching Ohio State these last two games, that's as close as you can get to elite.
Well, I know I've said on here before, if I had an AP vote, I would have ranked Ohio State number one going into the season. I've been pretty consistent all year long in saying that I think they have the most talented roster. The frightening thing for everybody is that the last 2 weeks they've played like it.
That is it. That is the only team, and again, we'll talk more about this in the next segment, but they are the only team that I'm fearful of Penn State facing, because Ohio State at their best is better than anybody else. Their ceiling is higher. We saw Oregon, only undefeated team in the country, Chris. They didn't belong on the field. That looked like one of, you know, what Feinbaum and every ESPN personality was saying about Indiana. You know, you can say it now about Oregon, the way they got boat raced.
Yeah, that was pathetic. Dan Lanning should be embarrassed.
They did not show up. And Ohio State, to me, the thing is, Chris, with Ohio State is, for some reason, Ryan Day sees maize and blue and gets all tight and conservative. He looks like he's just playing to win right now, and you see the results. The other game was the one really fantastic game in this whole playoff scenario. Arizona State and Texas. Boy, if you hadn't seen Scatamoo prior, you got a good feel of what he was all about in that game. And turned on a couple plays, as whenever you go into overtime, you know you could cherry pick a couple plays. Was that targeting, Chris?
No question. Of course, there's not one rules analyst across the whole country who said that it wasn't. Here's my takeaway from that game and from these playoffs. I am always cognizant of the fact that we bring our biases to the table, right? And you try to correct for them, but it's really hard, especially in something emotionally driven like sports fandom. So as a Penn State fan, I'm watching games being officiated by Big Ten crews. And what I see is just, again, I think a complete embarrassment to the conference. But I think, am I just frustrated because I feel like Penn State should be getting some calls they're not, and I want to see my team win, and it's coloring the way I'm viewing this? Well, now I've had a chance to watch games in which I am emotionally invested with Penn State in the playoffs get officiated by other conferences' reffing crews. And I've been able to watch games in which I'm not invested in any way, shape, or form get officiated by Big Ten refs. And it has unequivocally, indisputably confirmed for me, Big Ten officiating is an embarrassment. It's terrible. We need to shut down all Big Ten officiating until we can figure out what the hell is going on. It's like I've said you all season, Jim, these guys are just bad at their jobs. That was one of the most entertaining, fun, and meaningful, because of what was the stakes that were involved, college football games of what has been one of the best seasons of college football in forever. And it was marred by what? The patent incompetence of Big Ten officials. Just gross. The conference should be ashamed that its own lackluster employees marred what was one of the best games of college football in a great year of it. Just gross. Big Ten officials stink.
And one of the things that goes on with this, Chris, I've talked about how ESPN they become the SEC network. What that does, though, is it kills their credibility, okay? Now they open their mouth. It's like, I got to go through this filter of, well, they have an SEC bias. So even if what they say is legitimate, I will question them. Where I'm headed with this is, you get that kind of call that benefits a Southeast Conference team, and I don't think that was the issue, but the conclusion a lot of people come to is it's the Southeast Conference conspiracy.
Yeah.
The fix is in for the Southeast Conference school. There you go. That's why the bad call. All right, Chris, we're going to get to your Notre Dame preview when we come back.
Are you interested in traveling to Miami for the college football national semifinal game with your Nittany Lions? Then I have the answer for you from our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They are offering a 3-night air package. It includes round trip, nonstop charter air transportation from either State College or Harrisburg. Yep, you heard me right. Nonstop out of State College or Harrisburg. It also includes hotel accommodations for 3 nights and your game ticket. And as always, when you deal with collegiate athletic travel, you will have your travel directors who will provide you with all the help you need to make sure it's a great trip. Check them out at athletictravel.com, or you could give them a call for more information at 814-238-4987.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number four. He's Chris, I'm Jim. Just to put a final bow on this talk about the Southeast Conference, Chris, because I just can't let it go. I can't let it go. All right. The obvious media bias towards the Southeast Conference, it taints everything we see. And when we see a play like that, the non-call for the targeting, that's immediately the first thought, because the media has set us up to think that way. With all that said, though, my final thought, what was it, 4th and 13 that Texas was faced with? What a dramatic play. Yeah. I can't imagine. You're a Texas fan watching that, whether at home or live at the stadium. Just an incredible, dramatic play. It is the kind of thing, though, as much as I may hate the call or the non-call for the targeting, the overtime and the excitement with that is why I love college football.
Absolutely. And credit to Sark for keeping his team focused and winning that game, despite everything that went poorly for them with the kicking game and everything else. Going back to just the just shameful effort by these Big Ten refs, that targeting non-call, and it's just preposterous that they reviewed it for targeting. I mean, if you're not going to throw the flag at all, okay, fine, whatever. But you review it and come back and say, no, it wasn't. Give me a break. Look, the rule is just written the way it is. And if you're going to review it, then you're on the hook. Then you got to call it as you see it. If you don't want to be in that position, if you want to quote unquote let the kids play, don't review the call at all. Anyway, there were other calls in that game that were bad, some of which should have gone against Arizona State and didn't. It just marred the game. But yeah, credit to Texas. They played in the conditions that they were faced with, and they came out winners. So,
and I'll also throw out some kudos there for Quinn Ewers making that throw.
Yeah, no doubt.
In overtime, too. Let's not forget the players that actually executed.
All right, he made himself some more money with the college football team he'll be with next season.
Yeah, that's right. Whichever school. Well, I want to ask you about that in a little bit, but first let's get to this Penn State Notre Dame game.
Yes, sir.
Abdul Carter, here's the quote from James Franklin: I don't think there is anything stopping him from playing. Now, I'm cherry picking one line out of several things that James Franklin had to say. What are your thoughts? Are we going to see Abdul Carter in this game, and him playing or not playing, how much effect will it have?
I think that he will play. And I do expect him to probably play limited snaps and maybe to not be as universally effective as you would see at full strength. But I bet he makes at least one splash play where it's meaningful that he was in there. The good news is that Penn State continued to play well defensively in his absence in the Fiesta Bowl, and Amin Vanover in particular really stepped up. And I was thinking, Jim, when you made me list my top 10 key players to the team back in the preseason, I whiffed on one or two of them, but I remember the one I totally missed on, by the way, which I admit was JB Nelson. I thought was actually going to be like really useful as a swing player who could play guard or tackle. We just got better play out of the projected starters at offensive line than I was expecting. So that's a good problem to have. Like, he was just a depth guy for us because the projected starters played so well.
Well, but just Amin to, was just, one of my guys. Let me interrupt you for a second, though, just on the offensive line and bringing that up.
Yeah.
I think having some depth, I think your point with J.B. Nelson was, here's a guy beyond the starting five who could fill in when sure. we need that depth. What you just didn't realize is you confused J.B. Nelson for Nolan Rucci.
Well, all due respect to Nolan, I'll be straight up. One of the reasons why I thought JB's flexibility was going to be so important was that, number one, I wasn't sure Nolan was going to be able to be even a spot player at tackle. And I also thought, you know, he himself has some flexibility, and we may see this next season. Who knows? Could he move inside and play more guard? So anyway, I don't want to distract the point from that. Amin Vanover played very, very well. And he's had a great season all year long. But when it was his moment to step up, he really was next man up. And so I think that's good news for us, even going into the Notre Dame game.
Well, I also think, though, having Abdul Carter out there, obviously one of the elite players in the game that you expect splash plays from, it's not just a question of a lot of folks have been, well, Amin Vanover stepped in and played well. He did. He played really well. But I would rather have both of them available.
Sure.
And that could be a difference maker, where Amin Vanover is the third defensive end, not the second defensive end. So I think that's important, Chris. Looking at this game, again, a lot of similarities between these teams. The stout defenses on offense, they really count on the running game. The difference being that for Penn State, it's two guys. And speaking of that, last, three games or so, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, that's what we expected when this season started. I'm going to go back again to preseason shows with you where we talked about how good historically Catron Allen and Nick Singleton are as the two-headed monster at running back in Penn State history. Chris, I think it took till late in the season, but we are now seeing exactly what you talked about.
Yeah, O-line is gelling. I think Andy Kotelnicki has really started to settle into more of a groove as a play caller, although he definitely displayed some tendencies I hope he got out of his system with some of those calls in the Fiesta Bowl, specifically in terms of getting away from the run game. But the other thing is, too, we got to get through this Orange Bowl against a stout Notre Dame defense. But, man, Catron Allen looks like a different player on turf inside a dome, doesn't he?
What happened in this game? That's a Catron Allen we had not seen before. And, Chris, the tough thing is his best run was taken away from him by a penalty.
Yeah, that was brutal. Brutal. What a great highlight, even though it didn't count.
Exactly.
Like that Saquon Barkley run at Ohio State in 2015. It's just such a good run that you got to watch the highlight, even though you know it got called back on a holding penalty.
Yes, that's irrelevant to the effort that was there. So, okay, what kind of game should we expect to see here, Chris? Is it going to be the defenses just take over? We're going to get a 13-10 game. What are we going to see?
I think there's going to be more scoring than that, but I don't think it's going to be an offensive explosion by either team. I picked Penn State on a – I'll go ahead and I always say you want to get my pick. You got to watch the show. Watch the show anyway. I did pick Penn State to win. I picked us to win a close game. And to be honest with you, I'm betting with my heart on that one a little bit. I think this could go either way. I just believe in this team right now and what they've got going. And sometimes – magic happens. And so I'm betting on the magic of the Nittany Valley.
Well, I'm not even looking at it as magic. I'm looking at it that I'll be called the homer for, picking Penn State. Just a quick little note, if Penn State plays Ohio State in the national championship, it might be me picking against them because I
want to know now, Jim. 1-0. Notre Dame.
But before getting there, I look at the teams matching up, and I think what might be the difference in this game is something that I've talked about all year is I think both teams could run the ball, but throwing the ball, I think I trust Drew Aller more, and you throw in a weapon like Tyler Warren, I think it's now up to Andy Kotelnicki to pick and choose when to throw the ball. And it's not that I'm against this running game, which has been phenomenal, but don't wait till it's third and eight to throw the ball.
Yeah.
If you've established that you like to run the ball on first down, how about some play action passes on first down? Give Drew Aller an opportunity. I think Penn State has the advantage at that position, Chris.
You know who's got pressure on him this game, Jim, is Phil Troutwine. Because for as many complimentary things as I can say about Phil, and as somebody who has suffered through a lot of suspect offensive line play for the Nittany Lions over the years, those things are legion. Penn State's offensive line, which has been good all year, we just praised them a little earlier, they had their worst game of the season in pass protection. And it was Boise State's blitz that just got to Drew Aller multiple times, made him very uncomfortable. And Al Golden, you know, the former Nittany Lion who once upon a time tied the game against Notre Dame when he was wearing blue and white. He's their defensive coordinator. He's a Broyles finalist for a reason. And he's watching that tape because of how much Notre Dame loves to blitz. And he's seeing Boise versus Penn State and he's salivating. So the O-line just needs to study that tape. They need to lean on the experience they had having a bad night versus the Broncos and come up big and just play better. They just need to. They need to be better than they were versus Boise.
And there's no doubt. And Andy Kotelnicki has to look at that tape and say, okay, here's the adjustment we need to make based on that, because you've got to expect that from Notre Dame.
Right, and understand that they're going to look at what Boise did against us, and that plays into what Notre Dame does defensively naturally anyway. So they're going to come after us. So scheme up plays that will take advantage of that and make their aggressiveness work against them.
Screen passes, little swing passes. Did we see that at all? And some of that has been so effective where, you know, Nick Singleton or Catron Allen has been that safety valve, that check down. Did we see that at all against Boise State?
No, it's kind of vanished from the offense, but we know it's there. And we know that actually Catron Allen, especially, is surprisingly good as a receiver. I would like to see the backs in the receiving game more in this game, for sure.
I would, too. I think that could be the difference. All right, you said you picked Penn State. You want to venture to give us the score, Chris?
I got Nittany Lions 27-24.
I'll tell you what, we will take any amount in the victory. I'm with you. I think Penn State will win. I think it's a one-score game. I'm going to go a little bit high. I'm going to make it 31-24, a touchdown. Penn State actually reaches 30 points. And I think it's first team to 30 would actually win the game, Chris. All right. That is it for our show. Make sure you enjoy the game. Thank you, Chris. Thank you all. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Are you interested in traveling to Miami for the college football national semifinal game with your Nittany Lions? Then I have the answer for you from our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They are offering a three-night air package. It includes round trip, nonstop, charter air transportation from either State College or Harrisburg. Yep, you heard me right. Nonstop, out-of-state college or Harrisburg. It also includes hotel accommodations for three nights and your game ticket. And as always, when you deal with Collegiate Athletic Travel, you will have your travel directors who will provide you with all the help you need to make sure it's a great trip. Check them out at athletictravel.com, or you could give them a call for more information at 814-238-4987.